It's good to be here this morning, and we are so thankful that each one of you is here. This is one of the larger crowds that we've had in a long time. I remember back when I was growing up, there was a family lived in Gainesboro by the name of Cassidy, and they were numerous. Someone was asked one day, what's the population of Gainesboro? And they said 50. No, wait a minute, I forgot the Cassidy is 150. Well, with the Johnsons today, our population has really gone up. And we're glad to have each one of you. Several weeks ago, we began a series of lessons that we call 10 Cups of Love. I said at that time that I had 10 lessons planned on the subject of love. We've already discussed the greatest thing in the world, Missouri love, reasons to love, levels of love, if that isn't love, brotherly love, and I don't remember the rest of them at this point. Today is the 10th lesson in the series, and I'm going to be like Proverbs is in many instances. You remember where Proverbs says there are 6 things that God hates, yea, even a 7th? Well, there are 10 cups of love, yea, even an 11th. The next Sunday that I'm here, which will be 2 weeks from today, I want to sum up this series with a subject, self-love. We've talked about self a lot in the past, but I want us to put self in proper focus as far as the subject of love is concerned. Let me tell you 2 stories that will bring a chuckle, and these probably are not new to the local people, but we have a tremendous number of visitors this morning. A couple went to a counselor because they were having some trouble in their marriage, and the counselor asked the lady to tell him what she thought the problem was. She said, well, for one thing, my husband never tells me that he loves me. And he looked over and said, I told her I loved her the day we got married, and if I ever change my mind, I'll let her know. Does that strike a bell sometimes with most of us? And then there is the couple getting older who had gotten to the point that they were having difficulty showing their love to each other. And the wife said, I want you to go with me to a marriage counselor. The husband said, I'm not going. Yes, I want you to go. Well, I'll go, but it won't do any good. They went, and the counselor was trying to point out some ways that they could show their love more to each other, and he saw he wasn't getting across to the husband, so he jumped up and grabbed the wife and gave her a big bear hug. Looked over to the husband and said, she needs this at least 3 times a week. His eyes popped and said, well, I can bring her on Monday and Wednesday, but I can't come on Friday. Those stories remind me of a statement that's in Matthew 24:12. The love of many shall wax cold. One of the saddest things in the work of a gospel preacher is to have a husband and wife having problems, and the husband says, I don't love her anymore. Or the wife says, I don't love him anymore. Love can wax cold. Love can stop. And so our lesson today is on the subject, don't stop loving me. We mentioned the love of many shall wax cold in Matthew 24:12. In Philippians 1:9, he says that your love may abound more and more. That's the way it should be. Don't stop loving me. Let your love abound more and more. Let it grow. Some time ago, I saw an older couple walking on the street. He was walking with a cane, but she was in worse condition than he was. Had extreme difficulty walking, and he was holding her arm and helping her along as they walked. And I just stopped to think about that's love. Don't stop loving me. There's a song that is sung at many of the weddings, and it's my favorite wedding song. I know some of you haven't been married very long. You may have used this. It's called The Twelfth of Never. You ask how much I need you, must I explain? I need you, oh my darling, like roses need rain. You ask how long I'll love you, I'll tell you true, until the twelfth of never. I'll still be loving you. Then there's a little short verse, hold me close, never let me go, hold me close, melt my heart like April snow. I'll love you till the bluebells forget to bloom. I'll love you till the clover has lost its perfume. I'll love you till the poets run out of rhyme, until the twelfth of never. And that's a long, long time. That's exactly how long our love should continue. Love is a pearl that grows out of pain and time. Think about that definition. You've heard me use it before. I think it's the best definition of love I've ever seen outside of the Bible. Love is a pearl, something of great price, that grows. Love's not going to stand still. I'll guarantee you that love in the relationships that you have with one another and with God will not remain constant. It will either grow or it will go in the other direction. Love is a pearl that grows out of pain and time. We ought to love each other more as time goes by in the different relationships that we have. And I am convinced by both experience and observation that when we suffer pain together and difficult times together is when our love tends to grow the most. Love grows out of pain and time. I want you to think about this statement, don't stop loving me today, in at least three areas of thought. One in the home, two in the church, three in our relationship to God. And then perhaps a fourth or a summary idea of God's love in our direction. Don't stop loving me. Don't stop loving me when the honeymoon is over. There is a special time through the courtship. There is a very special time during the honeymoon where some things that have been wrong up until the point of marriage now become right. And two godly people really have some difficulty in accepting that and putting life in focus. And when that is done in the right way, the honeymoon becomes a very special time. Then the honeymoon is over. But love and its growth should not be over. There seems to be a tendency, we even talk about it, that especially those of us that are husbands may not pay as much of a special attention as we did during the courtship. We sort of accept things as being different, and some things are different, but love is not. And we do not see the need for special moments and special times like we once did. And problems can begin to arise. Don't stop loving me when the honeymoon is over. Don't stop loving me as a spouse when the first child is born. Now think with me. I've seen it happen many times. I realize that a child, as a baby, is in need of constant care and demands the time and attention, especially of the mother. But ladies, listen to me, especially you younger ladies. You don't cease being a wife when you become a mother. And if you will notice, when the older women were teaching the younger women in Timothy's letter, and a list is given of things they were to do, the first one is love your husband, and the second one is love your children. Now, husbands need to understand that there may need to be a bit of sacrifice. And you need to understand that there are going to be times when the immediate need of a child is going to demand the attention that might normally be in your direction from your wife. But wives, don't stop loving your husband when that first child is born. I know of a situation where when the child was born, the wife would have nothing to do with the husband from that point on. And even became so, I would describe, obsessed with being a mother that she ceased almost 100% to be a wife. That baby is now in the teens. And the same thing is continuing with that wife. And yes, you guessed it. They're divorced now. Don't stop loving me when I get to where I don't walk as fast as I did before. Don't stop loving me when the wrinkles come. And they will. If you don't believe it, visit Sister Margaret Bond, one of my favorite ladies. But she is a champion with wrinkles. Don't stop loving me when my hair turns white or loose. And I have a special interest in that. Don't stop loving me as I get older. I think it was a documentary on television not long ago where this lady was in the nursing home with Alzheimer's. Didn't even recognize her husband. Didn't know who he was. He went to visit her every day and sat and read to her every day for hours. And someone mentioned it and said, "Don't you understand? She doesn't know what's going on." He said, "I'm not doing this because she loved me. I'm doing it because I love her." Don't stop loving me in the family. If I'm a child and I grow up and leave home and on my own, don't stop loving me. Oh, dads and mothers, cut the apron strings and let a child go and have their own home and their own life, but don't stop loving them. It may be a little different approach to the relationship, but love remains the same and ought to grow. And when you younger ones marry and have a home of your own, love your wife or husband more than you love your parents. The Bible teaches that. But don't stop loving your parents. You see, love is something that needs to continue in the family. And let me throw another one in. Don't stop loving me when I mess up. You see, there are not many of us perfect folks left. We're all going to make mistakes. If a child makes a mistake as he's growing up, maybe even a serious mistake, don't stop loving that child. Don't condone the wrong. Don't encourage anyone in the wrong. I agree with you on that, but don't stop loving that child. There may have to be some barriers set and some guidelines set, but love can go through all of those. God is the only one who has the right to give a person over to a reprobate mind, because he knows the mind and he knows when a person has reached the degree of hardness of heart that that person will never return. And sometimes he gives a person over to a reprobate mind, but you and I do not know each other that way. And I believe there is a sense in which we should never, never give up. Sometimes it takes a long time, but don't ever give up. It it may be that love that you show to someone in your family who's made some mistakes, some serious mistakes, that will be the one thing that will last and help to bring that person back to his senses somewhere down the line. Don't stop loving me in the family. Don't stop loving me in God's family. Don't stop loving me because I've ceased to be a new convert. Oh, everybody was interested in me, you see, when I was being taught and when I was baptized into Christ. In those first few weeks, it just seemed like nobody could do enough for me. Everybody was interested, and then things began to taper off. And now, in some instances, someone says, you know, people don't even much more speak to me now. I wonder sometimes if they even are glad that I'm coming. Now, I know there are some things that change, and I know things will be different, and perhaps there are some things that ought to change. But as a person grows older in the church and has been a Christian for a while, that person needs love just as much as anybody else. Don't stop loving me a few weeks after I've been restored or rededicated my life. Maybe there's a brother or sister that hasn't been coming to church, has left faithful service, and we keep praying and working for that brother or sister to come back, and they come back and are restored, and we're all just overjoyed. Joy on earth and in heaven, according to the stories in Luke 15. But then a little time goes by, and we just sort of let things cool off and maybe don't show very much interest, and it may be in some instances, especially those who really need to be encouraged continually, not just once, will fall away again. Don't stop loving me after I've placed membership or become a part of the congregation and just assume that everything's all right. Don't stop loving me, and I'm going to get a little personal, when I've been with you 3 years. That'll be the 1st of November. It doesn't seem possible, does it? I need you to keep on loving me just like you have, and you've been very special to me in many ways, but if I stay with you for 20 years, God forbid, I'm still going to need your love. Our older members, as they get in the nursing homes and assisted living, need our love. Don't stop loving them. Don't stop loving me a few days after the funeral is over for someone that I loved and just buried. I've seen this happen. There's the funeral and everybody goes by, oh, we're behind you. If there's anything we can do, let us know. And then a couple weeks, a month later, everybody's sort of forgotten that. And if you've lost a loved one, you know personally what I'm about to say. Sometimes it's that month or 3 months or even a year later that you need a friend and someone to show some love even more so than at the funeral or at the funeral home. Don't stop loving me when I go home from the hospital. Well, we announce that somebody's in the hospital, and as long as they're in the hospital, we announce it at every service, and then maybe we'll announce that they go home, and if we're not careful, we just sort of drop it and don't say much. I think we do a better job here than anywhere I've been not dropping it. But sometimes after that person is almost fully recovered or maybe fully recovered because of some of the scars that are left, there may be a need for love then, more so than, or as much so, as when one is in the hospital. Don't stop loving me when I am older in the faith. We talk about a generation gap, and sometimes that happens in the church. Paul said, Timothy, you need to look at all the older men as your father, and you need to look at all the older women as your mother, and you need to look at all the younger women as your sister, and all the younger men as your brother. If we could do that and keep that going on, wouldn't it be a wonderful relationship? We need the energy of the youth and the wisdom of the more mature combined in the right proportions for the church to grow as it should. So don't stop loving me, young people, just because I'm a little bit older. I continue to need your love. And don't stop loving me because I make some mistakes sometimes, even in the work that I'm doing for the Lord. Our song leaders may make a mistake. They may get a song too high or too low, but don't stop loving them. As a preacher, I may make a mistake. My lesson may not be what it ought to be on a certain occasion, but don't stop loving me. And at some point, when a person is appointed an elder or a deacon in the church, don't stop loving them. I knew of one preacher in a congregation who was also appointed as an elder. And the next preacher's meeting he went to, where they ate together, he said, "You know," said, "I've been an elder for a week and I'm already questioning you preachers. It's easy for us to let situations develop." You see, elders in the church are human. Preachers are human, or at least ought to lean in that direction. Don't stop loving someone just because the circumstances change a little bit. We need that love to continue. God doesn't want us to stop our love for Him. "He that endureth to the end shall be saved," Matthew 10:22. "Be thou faithful unto death," or even "until death." Both of those will work there. "And I will give thee a crown of life." "I've fought a good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness," Paul said in the last chapter of the last book that we believe he wrote. He had just said before that, "I'm ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand." And I think there was a sense in this last letter, the second book to Timothy, that Paul was saying to them, "Don't stop loving me." And I'm even going to go one step further. Don't stop loving me after I'm gone. Don't let my memories cease. We need to not be tied to hold us back, but we need to remember those that have gone before and not stop loving their memories. God expects us to grow in our love for Him. Think about the promises that He has made. God is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but is faithful to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, 2 Peter 3:9. Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel. I'll be with you always." Matthew 28:18-20. Hebrews 13:8. "Jesus Christ yesterday, today, yea, and forever." In other words, He never changes. But verse 5 in that chapter says, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." I think that could have been said, "I will never stop loving thee." Don't stop loving me. We started out with this theme with the idea that love is the fulfilling of the law. Romans 13:8-10. Love is that just sort of seals everything together. And not only should we be concerned about the quality of it in our relationships, but we should be concerned about the quantity of it in the length idea. Don't stop loving me. If you're not a Christian, don't stop loving God, but obey His gospel to become a child of God, be buried with Him in baptism, and be added to the church. If you are a Christian and your life has not been what it should be, maybe your love has waxed a little bit cold, turn that thing around. Don't stop loving God. Don't stop loving your brethren. Get your life right and let that love continue to grow. If your love for God is not what it ought to be, and to change that, you need to do something publicly. Come as together we stand and sing.